The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Posuk Ches. Ki polei mimcha dover la mishpot, bein dom le dom, bein din le din. That if there is something, when it comes to the judgment, to the halacha, in regards to a certain aspect of Torah, and it's beyond the people, bein dom le dom, bein din le din. If it's distinct blood that's pure and blood that's not, or if it's distinguished between a legal matter between man and his friend, bein nega la nega. Or if it's to distinguish between how to define a nega, a certain wound that the person has that might render him tome, divrei rivais bishorecho, and there is dispute in the gates of the judges, then you shall get up and go up to the place where Hashem has chosen. You should come to the Kohanim, to the Levim, to the judges, which will be on that day. And you shall seek from them the law. Now, Rashi brings on these two psukim. We come to Vali, so that you should get up and go. Where should you go to? You should go to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the place of the high court was on the site of the Beis HaMikdash. And this teaches us that the site of the Beis HaMikdash was Gevaya Mikol HaMakemis, was higher than any other place in Eretz Yisrael. Then, this that it states that you should come to the Uvosar HaKoyenim V'al Shefer HaShiyah B'Yomim Mehem, that you should come to the judge which will be in that day. So Rashi explains, V'afilein HaKishar Shefetim, even if he's not as great as his predecessors, he's not as great as Mesha, says to the judge of that day, if he's not as great as Aaron, but since he is the judge, he is the Shefet, then you must listen to him. You have only the judge of your generation, of your day. And you shall do exactly as they tell you, from that place, from the place which Hashem has chosen, and you shall guard carefully to do all that they shall instruct you. In accordance to the Torah which they shall instruct you, and in accordance to the law you shall do. Now this the Sifri brings. This is a positive commandment. And you shall not turn from what they will tell you to the right or to the left. This is a negative commandment. And the person who with intent will defy what the Kohanim or the Levim or whoever the judges are tell him, this person shall be put to death, and you shall destroy this wickedness from within Israel. The whole nation shall hear, shall listen, and shall see le'yazidun od, and shall not defy the verdict of the judges. Now, this is the parsha which tells us the authority of the courts and the authority of the Chachmei Yisrael, of the wise of Israel. And involved in this parsha is a mitzvah's essay and a mitzvah's leisas, a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Sisa al piatera sheyarucha, in accordance to what they shall instruct you, you shall do. This is the positive commandment. Leisosu min adover, asheyagidu lacho yamin usmol, you shall not turn to the right or to the left of what they tell you to do. This is the negative commandment. And also, this parasha is speaking about an individual who will defy the verdict of the judges. And this individual is known as a Zokein Mamre, Ezokin Mamre means Ezokin a Chochem, a wise person, a Talmud Chochem, Mamre that will rebel against the courts. Let's this evening spend a little time on this Parsha to see if we can clarify it some more. Gemara in Masechta to Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Vov Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us Zokin Mamre Al Pi Bezdin. The Zokin Mamre, the elder that will defy the verdict of the courts, this is Alpi Bezdin. This is only if he'll defy them, if he'll defy the court himself. Shenemar ki yipole mimcho dover la mishpot. Shleisha bote din ho yoshon. There were three bote din, three courts in Yerushalayim. Echad yeshev al Pesach Harabais, Echad yeshev al Pesach HaAzora, Echad yeshev belishkis HaGozis. One was by the entrance of the Har HaBayis. This is in Yerushalayim, as we came near the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad yeshev al Pesach HaAzora. One was by the entrance of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad yeshev belishkos HaGozis. And one, the highest court, was in the Lishkos HaGozis. This was another section of the Beis HaMikdash. Boin lezeh shal Pesach Harabais ve'im ekach derashti ve'kach dorshu. Now, it is speaking where there was a dispute between one individual, one judge, and the other judges. So they would come to these three highest courts of Israel. And first they would come to the one which was on the Harabais, and he would say, this is my opinion in regards to this law, and this is their opinion. Kach doshu chaveirai, kach limarito v'chach limde chaveirai. So if the court can resolve it, they have an opinion, good. Then they must give their decision. If not, then they go to the higher court. When they come there again, he states, this is my opinion, and these are the opinions of the others. If that court can resolve it, good. If then they render their verdict. If not, then they go to even the higher court. They go to the highest court, and that was the one in the Lishkos HaGozis, right in the site of the Beis HaMikdash. Boin lebezdin HaGodl, and that was called the Bezdin HaGodl, the highest court. That was the court of 71 judges. The others had 21 judges. And they would go to the highest court, Shemimenu Yetzei Teirah L'chol Yisrael, 23 judges the others had. And they would go to the highest court, Shemimenu Yetzei Teirah L'chol Yisrael, that from there Torah would go out to call all of Israel. Shneemar min amoka mahu asher yivchar Hashem. As it states in our parsha, to the place where Hashem has chosen. There the highest court would render its verdict. Chozali ir, now when they return to the city, Shona v'limad b'derek shoyelomad poter b'mheir elasa ischayiv. If this individual elder, after he returned to a city, if he still retained his opinion and he would teach this opinion, then he is not guilty. But if he would instruct the people in accordance to his opinion, chayiv, then he's guilty. The one who will do in accordance to his own opinion to defy the court, that only when he will instruct people to do, then is he considered the one who has defied the decision of the high court, and then the punishment is capital punishment. This is known as the Zokeid Mamre. It means that if a person one of the judges is having a dispute with other judges, they go to one court, to another court, finally to the highest court. And the highest court must render a decision. And everyone must abide by that decision. And anyone who will render an opposing decision to that court and will instruct people to abide by his opinion, then this is known as Zokin Mamre. And the Torah says that this person should be put to death. This is the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara a little further, and Daf Peches Omed Beis. The Gemara tells us, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer Abyesi. Abyesi said, Mitchila lo hoyo maribin machlekes b'Yisrael. In the beginning, there was not machlekes in Israel. When it came to legal decisions, there was always one opinion in Israel. El Bez Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad Yeshvim Belishkes Hagozis. The High Court of 71 judges sat in the Lishkes Hagozis by the base of Mikdash. Ushnei Boti Dinim Shel Esrim Veshleisha. And then there were the two courts. Each had 23 judges. Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach Harabais Ve'Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach Hazor. One was in the Harabais on the mountain where the base of Mikdash was. The other was by the courtyard of the base of Mikdash. And then, in all of the cities of Israel, each one had a court of 23 judges. Someone had a question, a shiloh. So he would go to the court of his city. If they knew the answer, then they would say it. And the person would have to abide by it. And if not, then they would go to another court near their city. If they knew the answer, then they would render the decision, and everyone would have to abide by it. If not, they would go to the court which was on the mountain of the Beis Hamikdash. Again, they could render a verdict, good. If not, they would go to the court, to the court which was by the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. If they could render a verdict, good. If not, if it was still unresolved, then they would go to the Lishkes Hagozis. They would go to the highest court. Shishom Yeshvin Mitomit Shel Shachar Atomit Shel Ben Abayim. The highest court was in session from the first sacrifice that was brought in the morning until the last sacrifice that was brought before sunset. And even Shabboses and Yomim Tevim Yeshvim Bechel, they were also in session to a certain extent, even on Shabbos and Yontif. But there they moved their site to a different place, to the Chel. Nishalu Shala Bifnehem, the Shaila, the question was brought to them. Im Shomu, if they knew an answer, Omru Lehem, they would immediately say the answer. Vim lav, what happens if they didn't know the answer? Aim dim laminyan. Then they would have to come to some conclusion. And if there would be a split verdict, then aim dim laminyan, they would count the votes. Robo amatamim, timo. If the majority said it was impure, then it would be impure. Robo matarin, tiaru. If the majority said that it was pure, then it would be pure. And once they gave their final decision, then there was impossible that there should be another verdict in Klal Yisrael. So there could be only one decision one way in Klal Yisrael. Then the Gemara tells us later, Mishra Rabu Talmidei Shammai VeHillel. During the time of Shammai and Hillel, the disciples started to multiply. The disciples of Shammai and Hillel, Shaleishim Shekol Tzorchan. Disciples that did not learn sufficiently started to multiply in Israel. And Rabba Machlekes b'Yisrael. The Nasis Teira Kishtei Teiras. And from there came Machlekes, came dispute in Israel. And the Torah became like two Torahs. The Rambam gives an elaborate explanation to what the Gemara is speaking of. Well, we can get somewhat of an idea as to the legal system that was given over to the Chachomim, to the wise, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see some of the Rambams on these halachas. The Rambam in Hilchis Mamrim writes, Bez din agol shebishlaim im ikoter shebalpeh. The highest court of Yerushalayim, this was the foundation of the Teirah Shebalpeh, of the oral law. Vehem amudei hayra, they were the pillar of instruction. Umehem cheku mishpat yetzi l'chol Yisrael. And from here went out law and judgment to all of Israel. Ba'alein hiftichu Teirah. And the Torah relied on the Bez din hagodl, on the highest court of Israel. Shneemar, as it states, al pi hatera she yaruchas u'mitzvah zese, then he quotes from our Sedra, that you must do in accordance to what they instruct you. This is a positive commandment. V'chol ha-maymin b'meisha rabbeinu v'teirose chayiv lismek maisa adas aleinu lishoyin aleinu. Anyone who believes in Meisha and in his Torah, then he is obligated to fully rely upon the Chachomim of the Bez Din HaGodl as to the interpretation of the Torah. Kol mi she'ina eisek ha'erosan, anyone who will not rely, who will not abide by their interpretation or by their judgment, Eva Beleisa said, transgresses a negative commandment. Shneema, as it states, Leisosa Mikola Dovara Sheyagid Lachol Yaminu Smol, that a person shall not turn to the right or to the left of what they shall tell you. Now, the Rambam writes that there are three areas which were given over to the wise of Israel, in which they have the authority, the judiciary authority, on how to give, how to instruct this Torah to Israel. Echo dvorim shalom doisem mipi ashmur vehim teresh balpeh. If they had a Kabbalah, this means that they received from their rabbein a certain halacha or a certain interpretation. This is one area in which the final jurisdiction is given to them. Echa dvorim shelamdu mipi daitu, ba'achas min amidus she'atere nidreshes behen, v'nire be'ineihem shedove zeh kachu. Another area of jurisdiction, of authority, which is given over to them, is where they expound, not that they instruct in accordance to a tradition or a law which was given to them, but they instruct in accordance to what they expound in their own right, in accordance to the principles of the Torah that the Torah may be expounded by. That's a second area. Third area, ve'echa dvorim sh'asum sig l'teira, v'fima sh'ashot sricha, ve'en agzeris v'atakonas v'amin hoges. A third area is not how to law of the Torah, be it through a traditional interpretation that they receive from their masters, or be it through their own expounding of the Torah, in accordance to the principles that the Torah may be expounded through, but where they come to enact, they come to amend the Torah. They want to add a protective law to the Torah, or they want to make a certain decree which the hour calls for, or the particular place calls for, or they want to enact a certain custom which they see is necessary. So this is not in the area of interpreting the Torah, but rather than to amend certain clauses to the Torah. This also is an authority which was given to them. Called Echod ve'echod me'ela hashleshet dvorim. In each, the Rambam's, this is the Rambam's opinion. This is the Rambam's shita. That in each of these three areas, mitzvah zeh lishma alehem, it's a positive commandment that we must listen to them. Ve'eved al kol echod mehen, and anyone who transgresses this does not abide by what they say in any of these three areas, Eva Belesa say he transgresses a negative commandment. Now the Rambam says that each of these three areas is mentioned in the posuk, in the sentence of the Torah, which we read. Al pi haTorah asher yarucha, in accordance to the Torah which they shall instruct you. This refers to the takonos, the gzeiros, and minhagos sheyeru behem l'rabim. This refers to the decrees, or to the customs, or to any edicts that they want to add to the Torah in accordance to the time and place, lechazik adas l'sakana ilum, because they found it necessary. Ala mishpot asher yemru, that you shall listen to their mishpot, to their judgment. This refers to this refers to what they expound in accordance to the principles that the Torah might be expounded. You shall not turn from anything that they shall tell you. This refers to the Kabbalah when it is based on a tradition or on a teaching that they received from their previous masters. Then the Rambam writes, if there's a dispute in the Beis Din HaGadol, in the 71 judges, so then the law is we go after the majority of the judges. Kishoya Beis Din HaGadol Kayim, when the great court stood, and this was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. See, today we do not have a court system like we had during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when we were in Eretz Yisrael, so we had a complete court system, like was mentioned in the Mishnah. Every city had its courts, and every district had its courts. This is learned from Parshas Yisro, when Yisro came to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a court set up, a judge set up for every 10 people. There were district courts, city courts, and then there were the larger courts, and then finally there were the three courts in Yerushalayim, and the Supreme Court. Each judge was a fully qualified judge who had what was known as the smicha. And the origin of the smicha comes from Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua. That when Moshe gave over his authority to Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he shall place his hand, rest his hand on Yeshua's shoulder. And that's from the word, this is what the word smicha means, Vayismach. And this smicha was given from Yeshua to others. So this authority to render legal interpretation of the Torah, or to amend the Torah where it's acceptable and proper, this was given to anyone who had this smicha, and therefore could be a judge and part of the court. The Gemara tells us that the last of the musmachim were Rebbe Kiva v'chavereiv, Rebbe Kiva and his colleagues. These were the last of those who had this authority. And they were killed off by the Romans. So, since their time, we do not have a fully qualified smicha. And therefore, we do not have fully qualified judges, nor do we have fully qualified courts. And therefore, we are not authorized to render decisions in every area of the Torah, or to enforce decisions in every area of the Torah. The full courts, the fully qualified courts, they were capable, they were qualified of rendering fines, monetary decisions, corporal punishment, capital punishment, and so forth. This is something we do not have today.
It's such a thing that
The Rambam writes, the Rambam says, as his own opinion, he says, Yeroy Ali, that it's his opinion that if the majority of the Chachmei Yisrael, the majority of the elders of Israel, of the world, would come together and they would all confer upon one individual the smicha, then it would be a qualified smicha. During the time of Rabbi Yosef Cairo was the author of the great Shulchan Aruch, there were those that wanted to confer smicha upon him. Now here the Rambam brings from the Gemara which I quoted before, and it's really a fascinating concept, and it's a very unique concept for us because we live in the Golus. When I refer to the Golus, I don't only refer to outside of Eretz Yisrael, but I'm referring also to inside of Eretz Yisrael. We live in a time when Klal Yisrael is in Golus, and in a time when our courts have been destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So we are accustomed to think that there can be 25 answers to the same Shaila, and there could be 100 places in throughout Israel, throughout the world, and even 100 places in one community that all can act differently when it comes to the same question. Besides the fact that we are divided, and you have your Ashkenazim and you have your Sfardim, the Ashkenazim were the European Jewry that originated from Germany, and you have your Sfardim, that these were the Spanish and Portuguese Jewry, and each one has their own customs. But even then, even every country, every community had its own customs, and it had its own answers to all of the shailas. And many, many people feel that this is a way of life which is built into Klal Yisrael. Not so at all. Many people that feel that Klal Yisrael should be different, every shul should be different, every community should be different. There is the Polish Jew and the Hungarian Jew, and there is the Litvish Jew, and there is the German Jew, and there is the English Jew, and there is the Moroccan Jew, and there is the Oriental Jew, and so forth and so on. There is the Israeli Jew. This is all a klolo, a curse of the Golus, because there was one Torah given. And the one Torah symbolized ki amcho, ki ato echod, v'shimcho echod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one. U'mi ki amcho Yisrael ge echod. And who is like Israel, there is one. And this is all the curse of the Golus. The Hungarian Jew has his minhagim, because he grew in Hungary. The Litvish Jew might have his customs because he grew in Lithuania. And even in Eretz Israel, the Yushalayim Jew is not necessarily the Yushalayim Jew, because it was settled by Lithuanians and by Hungarians and by other people that brought their customs there with them. And this is not how it's supposed to be at all. And here the Rambam clearly tells us from the Gemara which we quoted before. He says, "Kishohaya bezdin agodel kaim lohaya samachlekes b'Yisrael." When the bezdin agodel stood, it was impossible that there should be a machlekes b'Yisrael. It is impossible that there should be two communities, one doing one way and the other doing another way. It was impossible that on one question there could be two answers. It was impossible that on a shiloh, this great elder could say that it's kosher and the other one could say it's treif. That it would be, the Gemara brings many cases, that certain communities, for example, there was one community that would, on such a bird, would consider it a kosher bird, and there was another community on such a bird would consider it a treifa bird. Because it wasn't clear whether it was kosher or treif, so each one went according to his predecessors, according to his traditions, according to their judges. You have, today it's common that you have, many will eat from this sheikhet, and others won't. Others will eat from another sheikh. Many will say that this is kosher and that is not kosher. Many will daven one way and the other will daven another way. They'll use two sidurim. Many will come and on Pesach, some will say halal at night. It was the minhag Sfardim to say halal at night. It was the minhag Ashkenazim, the custom of Ashkenazim, not to say halal. So it is built in to Klal Yisrael, at least according to are thinking, that every community goes in its own way. Every shul goes in its own way. But this is true. But this is a fruit of the golus, of the exile. When the great court stood, there could not be two ways in Israel. Unless it was a particular custom which the local court enacted because they saw it was necessary for that particular place. In other words, there was the general law. And then a local court, because of certain local conditions, they enacted this particular law. To us, this seems very strange. Actually, it's not strange at all, because Lahavdu, all your national laws are like that also. Every country, there's only one national law. Every country. All right, you could have where the local courts have their own jurisdiction in regards to the local needs. For example, maybe it would be given over in some areas that the localities, the municipalities, they'll be in charge of keeping up their own roads. So some might decide to make roads one way, others will make roads another way. Some might decide to make certain laws regarding their roads and so forth. All right, but here we're speaking about certain local situations. But when it comes to national law, there's only one law. There's only one law in South Africa. There's only one law in America. If it's disputed, it's brought to the highest courts and it's resolved. And once it's resolved, that's it. Unless you want to try to appeal it. This was possible also, that there could be one Beis Din HaGodol can overturn a decision of a previous Beis Din HaGodol. But again, it would come out once the decision was rendered. It's a decision rendered for the entire nation. Same thing, and even more so with the Torah. Once the decision was rendered, then it could only be one way. So this is what the Rambam writes here, that when the Beis Din HaGodol came, lo haisa machlekes b'Yisrael, it was impossible that there could be a dispute in Israel after the decision was rendered. Ela kol din shenelit b'sofik le'echot, whenever there was a shaila, he would ask his Beis Din in the city. If they knew the answer, good. If not, then they would send a shliach together with the shail, and they would go to a higher court. They would go to Yerushalayim. There they would ask it. If they could render a verdict, good. If not, they would go to a higher court. Until finally, it came to the Beis Din HaGodol. When it came to the Beis Din HaGodol, there they would render a decision if they could. They knew what they would say. Once it was said, it had to be accepted. If they did know, what happens? You would bring them a bird. And the bird had all the signs that the Torah tells us is a kosher bird, but there was something that they weren't clear on. Or you would bring them some type of newfangled electronic equipment. You wanted to know if it could be used on Shabbos or not. So they didn't know the answer. They could not leave the decision without resolve, without resolution. If it was borrowed to them, if it was clear, then they would render a verdict. If not, then they would have to sit and debate and discuss. They would be donin bebishait and v'neisim v'neisim bedover. And they would sit and they would discuss until a verdict came about. They could not leave any facet of the Torah without a verdict. If everybody agreed, good. What happens if there was a dispute in the high court itself? Then Yamdu L'Minyan. Then there would have to be a vote. And there was always an odd number in the high court, so it could not be left as a split decision. There must be a final decision. If the majority said one way, this is the decision. If the majority said the other way, this would be the decision. And kacha halocha, this would be the halocha. And once they gave out this halocha went through all of Israel. It went through the whole world. And no one was allowed to defy this halacha. No one was allowed to defy this halacha. There could not be a community in any part of the world that could defy this halacha. So all of Israel would walk in one direction. This is what it's meant, that when the Beis Din HaGodol would be in existence, it was impossible there could be machlekes, there could be dispute in Israel. Mishabotel Beis Din HaGodol, ropsa machlekes. Once the Beis Din HaGodol was destroyed, then machlekes grew in Israel. See, this one would be matama, this one would be matahir. And today, in our times, so the Rambam writes in his Akdoma to the Yad Chazoka, that there is no court in the world today, there's no Torah court in the world that has universal authority. See, the universal authority of Torah court that was given only to the Beis Din HaGodol. Today there is no court in the world that has universal authority. So therefore everyone must abide by the chachomim of his city.
elders of his city, they have authority over that city. But an elder of one city cannot say what to do, how the Jews in Japan should do, or how the Jews in America should do, or in Australia, or vice versa. Universal authority, this we do not have today. So therefore, everyone must abide by the wise of his city, by the Talmid HaChomim of his city. And therefore, you can have people in one community doing one way and people in another community doing another way. No. I think the switch tripped. Yeah, no, God left order. There is no such thing as one individual having authority over the whole world. No, even then the God Lador didn't have. Even then the God Lador didn't have. There were 71 judges. The Nossi was the highest judge of the 71. He didn't have authority. It was Nimna Laminion. In Perek Gimel of Hilchas Mamre, the Rambam brings the din of Zokin Mamre. Now it's important for us to understand this concept, even though it's not relevant today. It's important for us, the concept is relevant, where we can see the authority that the Torah gave to the Chachmei Yisrael, to the wisest of Israel. He says, if there is a chochm, if there is a Talmud chochm, mechach mi Yisrael, who is amongst the wise of Israel, and the person who's qualified, person who's can be from the judges, sheyesh biyodei kabbalah, and he has the kabbalah, he has the tradition, like all of the other judges, he has the tradition he learned by the wise. And he is able to judge and to expound and to instruct and to teach Torah just like all of the other judges. And when a Shaila comes to the Beis Din HaGadol, so all of them, or the majority of them, will render one verdict. And he opposes them. Now he has a right to oppose them until the vote is taken. See, not only does he have a right, he is obligated. Every judge is obligated to render a decision in accordance to his opinion. He's not allowed to hold back his opinion. This is his obligation as a judge. He must render a decision in accordance to his opinion of the Das Torah, of the knowledge of the Torah. Once the vote is taken, though, then he must abide by the majority. Now a vote is taken, and this judge refuses to abide by the majority. He does not agree to them now. But he disagrees, he opposes them. He says that what they are doing is wrong, and he opposes them. Now he doesn't only oppose them theoretically. If he would only oppose them theoretically, then this is not what the Arpash is speaking of. But he goes and he goes and he renders decision against them. He goes back to his city or to wherever he is, and he tells people, when they ask him or without asking him, he says, this is the halacha. Aval pishu hu don vehem donim. Now the Rambam says that really there is no logic why they should be any more right than he should be. He says, "Afal pishu who don and ain don and who kibul the him kiblu." He says, "Why should they be any more right than he is?" Speaking about a qualified judge, like we mentioned, is somewhat the smicho. This is someone who has knowledge in the entire Torah, someone who is a great Talmud Chacham. So why should there be any more truth in their decision than in his decision? They based their decision on a tradition. They based the decision on the principles of the Torah. He based his decision on a principles on the principles of the Torah, on a tradition. And this is what. And just because there's a majority, just because there's a majority, this doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong. The majority can be wrong also. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes, and this is what our parsha tells us: Harei Torah Chol Kolehem Kovet. Still, the Torah honored the majority of the Beis Din. Even though in reality it could be he's right. In reality it could be they're wrong and he's right. But still, the Torah honored the majority. Vim rotu Beis Din, lim chol al kfeidon, ulonichon. And this person went back and he has paskened, he has rendered decisions which are in opposition to the Beis Din's decision. To the Beis Din HaGodol. This only refers to the Beis Din HaGodol. So if the Beis Din now wants to waive this, they're not allowed to. Einun yecholim. Kedei shelo yirbu machlekes b'Yisrael. In order that there should not be machlekes b'Yisrael. And this is what the Torah tells us, that this individual must be put to death. This judge is taken. And he's brought to the Beis Din to verify that this is what he did, and he is put to death. Now, why was the Torah so harsh in this case? And the Rambam writes, it could be that he's right and they're wrong. In order shelayir b'machlekes b'Israel, in order that there should not be two Torahs in Israel. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, with it he gave the jurisdiction and the authority on how to interpret and implement the Torah to Moshe and his Beis Din. The Torah tells us that there were 70 elders together with Moshe. And this is where we learn that the High Court has 71. 70, and the Nossi, the head of the Beis Din. This was Moshe. So not that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, and then it became Hefker, it became something which is completely free, that everyone can expound in accordance to the way he sees fit, or the way he thinks. But with it came the jurisdiction on how to interpret the Torah, and how to implement the Torah. That jurisdiction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to the High Court, to the Beis Din HaGodol. And it was the Beis Din HaGodol, they were authorized to regulate and to have jurisdiction over the entire court system. It was the Beis Din HaGodol that chose the judges for the entire court system. So this was all under their jurisdiction. So this is what the Rambam meant in the beginning, that Beis Din HaGodol Sheb Yushalayim, the High Court, the Supreme Court, Heim Amudei Adas, that Heim Iko Teri Shebal Peh, they're the foundation of the Teri Shebal Peh, of the oral law. Veheim Amudei Hayro, Vehem Chayku Mishpat Yetzi L'chol Yisrael. They're the foundation of Torah judgment, and from here went out Torah to all of Israel. So the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this jurisdiction to the High Court, in order shelayir b'machlekes b'Israel, in order that there should never be machlekes b'Israel, dispute in Israel, there should be only one Torah in one way. This we see from a Gemara. There's a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, Perek Haseches HaPa'elim, where the Beis Din rendered one verdict, and one of the individuals, to be sure, defied them, the Beis Din. And he brought all kind of proofs that he was right. He brought proofs through miracles and through wonders that he was right. He said, let the brook by the Beis HaMedrash, let it dry up, let it turn its course. Let the tree turn, let it wither. Let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash move. Baskol Yechiach, he even brought a voice from heaven which supported his view. But still, The court would not listen to him. Leba shemayim hik far nikna teira lemesha. The Torah is not in the heavens, it was already given over to the courts. Jurisdiction of the Torah is in the hands of the courts. This is the deen of Zokin Mamre. This refers only to someone who's a qualified judge. See, someone who's not a qualified judge, this does not refer to him. Because if someone is not qualified, this is really not even considered an opposing view to the Beis Din HaGadol. Now also from this parsha, we learn that the tremendous honor that the Torah has demanded from us to the Talmidei Chachamim, to those who have jurisdiction over the Torah. Now, even though that basically this parsha is referring to the courts, to the Supreme Court system, the Sefer HaChinuch brings that from here we can also learn how much one must have honor for any Talmud Chochem, for anyone who is a Chochem HaTorah, who is a wise of the Torah. And also, this teaches us how much honor a person must have for the Divrei Chachomim, for all of the laws that the wise enacted or that the wise interpreted. Now there's much to discuss on this parsha, in this subject. We've had shurim in the past on it. We do not have time to go into this evening. Let me just quote quickly. Just two gemaras in relation to this. The gemara in Masechet Psochim and Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara says, "Shimon o Amsuni, v'yamri lo nechem yo Amsuni ha'edeirish kol esim shebetorah." Shimon Amsuni used to expound every S in the Torah. Wherever it said S, Bereishis bora elokim es ha'shamayim es ha'oretz. In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. S means the. So every time the Torah used the word S, he would expound, he would learn from that word an additional halacha, because the Torah could have written grammatically, Hebrew can be written without that word. Kivin shigia l'es Hashem elakecho tiro, once he came to the sentence, es Hashem elakecho tiro, that you shall fear the Lord your God, and it states es Hashem, it means you shall fear Hashem, and the word S. So Pirush, he stopped expounding it, because what could S come to include? You shall fear God. S means you shall fear something else also. The fear that you have towards God, how can you share that with anyone else? So he stopped. So his disciples asked him, now what will be with all the other S's that you darshaned in the Torah till now? And there were literally hundreds and hundreds of them. He said, from the fact that this S cannot be expounded, this is a sign that every word S could not be expounded. So it means that I made a mistake. Just like I will receive reward on my stopping to expound the word S, so will I receive reward, just like I will receive reward on everything that I expounded, so will I receive reward now on this that I have stopped. Then the Gemara says, "Achibori Bekiva v'doris Hashem lekecho tira l'rabbis tamidei chachamim." The Bekiva came along, and he darshaned, he expounded the word S. The Lord your God you shall fear. This comes to include tamidei chachamim. The fear that you have for the Lord your God, you shall also share with Talmidei Chachom, with the wise of Torah. Rashi brings you Meir Rabba Kemeir Shemayim. The fear of your Rebbe should be like the fear of heaven. Now the Meiri, one of the Rishonim here in Masechet Psochim, he says from here we see that the fear that we must have towards a Talmud Chacham is not a different type of fear than we have towards Hashem. Because in the same sentence, it says that the Lord your God you shall fear. And from that sentence we expound, this also refers to Talmidei Chachamim, and it's referring to the same fear. So we see that the same fear that one is commanded to the Hashem, one is also commanded to the Talmidei Chachamim. Now, a little greater insight into this is what the Gemara in Masechet Makos, Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara says, "Amarava kamatip shoy, shar anshei." The Mekami say, "Fetere kaimi velekaimi kamagav rabba." This is how foolish are many people that they'll stand up before a Sefer Torah and they will not stand up before a great person of the Torah. Shariatero om rabo im yaken vos rabonon ubatzre chodo. The Torah said that when someone commits a certain avera, so it says, arbo im yakenu, you shall give him 40 lashes. And the Chachomim came along and interpreted that to mean 39 lashes. So you see that the Chachomim had a power to reduce that what is written in the Torah. So why then do people stand up before a Sefer Torah and they do not stand up before a person who encompasses Torah? So the Maral Miprag in his Sefer Nesivas Olam, Nesiva Torah Perek Yud Aleph, he says one should not think one should not think that someone who has Torah is like any other person, except this one has Torah and this one doesn't have Torah. One has knowledge of Torah and the other one doesn't have knowledge of Torah. Not so. If a person is a true Talmud Chacham, and a true Talmud Chacham means someone who gives his days and his nights to Torah, we'll see in a minute what the interpretation of a Talmud Chacham is, but if a person is a true Talmud Chacham, then he's not like another person who is not a Talmud Chacham, except this one has knowledge. If someone knows mathematics, or if someone is a great scientist, basically he's the same as any other person, except he has a specific knowledge, not so with Torah. When someone is a true Talmud Chacham, then the Maral writes, he is similar to the Torah itself, to the Sefer Torah itself. And it is for this reason that the Torah gave the authority to human beings to interpret the Torah, either in accordance to what they receive from their masters, or to what they can expound through their own minds, according to the principles of the Torah, or what they see is necessary to amend to the Torah or reduce from the Torah. If they would not be similar to the Torah itself, then the Torah would have never given this authority to any human being. The fact that the Torah gave authority to the Talmidei Chachomim of the generation or to the Beis Din HaGadol to fashion the Torah, to implement the Torah, to interpret the Torah, this means that these people have a dimyon gomur, a strong similarity to Torah itself. How can the Torah say that you should give someone 40 lashes explicitly, and the Chachomim come along with a drosha by expounding that it means 39? The fact that they have such an authority and this the Torah gave them, it means that they are essence of Torah themselves. So therefore, Rava said, "Kama tipshoy." How foolish people are. He was referring to in Bovel. Bovel, they didn't have great respect for Talmidei Chachomim. He says, how foolish they are. Before a Sefer Torah, they stand up. And before a Gavra Rabba, before a great person in Torah, they do not stand. When they don't realize that the Gavra Rabba is a Sefer Torah. So this is what the Rebbe Kiva came along. Rebbe Kiva came along and he said, Shimon Amsun, he didn't know how to learn the Pasuk. It said, Es Hashem Elokecho Tira, you shall fear Hashem Elokecho. Es comes to add something, so you should fear Hashem and someone else. How can you share the fear of Hashem with someone else? If in one Pasuk it would say, is Oviv Imotiro. You should fear your father and mother. Another sentence it says you shall fear Hashem. Alright. We're speaking about two different types of fear. One fear you should have for a parent, another fear for Hashem. But in one sentence it says you shall fear Hashem. And there is a word which teaches us that this fear, the same fear, should be shared with someone else. So Shimon HaMsuni said, I cannot darshan this pasuk. So there Rabbi Kiva said, no. It goes on Talmidei Chachomim. Since Talmidei Chachomim have a quality of Torah itself, and Torah itself is the quality of the Almighty, because it says, Kuchi Bricha V'Raisa Chadhu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and His Torah is one. The Torah is His quality, is the quality of Hashem Himself. Then the fear can be shared. The fear can be shared. There was a great Rav in Europe whose name was Reb Osher. Ochler, and he was the rabbi of the city of Ainuta, and he's an uncle to the rabbi Ochler here in Johannesburg. He's a very great rabbi. He was known as the Ainuta rabbi. So he once interpreted this Gemara, that why was Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva was able to darshan this, and Shimon wasn't. It was Shimon HaMsuni that inspired Rabbi Kiva to darshan this. Because there are literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of words Essin in the Torah by the time you get to this pasuk in the volume of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And when it said that Shimon HaMsuni Hayaderishi would expound every Es in the Torah, this was his life's work. His life's work was to take every word Es in the Torah and learn a Chidush, learn a new halacha from it. And when he came to this S, and he said, I cannot darshan it, and his Talmidim said, so what will be on the rest? This will be a sign that the rest also are false, they're not true droshes. So actually, what Shimon should have done was simple. He should have managed somehow to say some drosho in order to save his whole life's career. Should have managed some Eitzah. But when he refused to do so, and he told the Talmidim, Kishem shekibalti schar ala drisha kach ekabel schar ala prisha, just like I have received reward for everything that I darshan until now, I will receive reward now for everything, for now, from the fact that I stopped to darshan. So this Rabbi Kiva saw the great truth that there is in a true Talmud Chacham. When we're speaking of a true Talmud Chacham, he is not interested in anything except the truth of the Torah. He's not interested in personal quest, personal ambition, covet, honor, or any of these things. He's interested only in the truth of the Torah. And this is why the Torah entrusted the jurisdiction and implementation of itself to the Beis Din HaGadol. Because the Torah knew that the true Chachmei Yisrael were only interested in the truth of the Torah. So Rabbi Kiva saw this in Shimon HaMsuni, that a whole life's work he was ready to discard because he came to a dead-end street now. So Rabbi Kiva said that he also would hold that it's not possible to share the fear of Hashem with any human being. Why? Because Chayis Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Because the flag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. So who can you share the fear that you have towards such a power with anyone else? But now that I see the quality of a Talmud Chacham, of a true Talmud Chacham, is where his pursuit is only for truth, then you can darshan Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rabbis, and this comes to include Talmidei Chachomim also. Just two short points on this. One is, what is a Talmud Chacham? If we're referring to today, there is in Yoredeya, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Simon Reish Mem Gimel. Simon Reish Mem Gimel, Sif Gimel, Sif Beis. There, here it's speaking that a Talmud Chacham, now this is referring even in our days, a Talmud Chacham has certain dispensations from various taxes and so forth. When it comes to pay for the guardians of the city, a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay because he doesn't need it. The Torah is his guardian. So then, the Mechaber brings, this is a Talmud Chacham, Shetei Rosam Umnosam. This is a Talmud Chacham where they occupy themselves either the entire day or most of the day with their Torah. So the Rama writes, "Ein chilek ben shul tefesh yeshiva loy." Talmud Chacham doesn't have to be a Rosh Yeshiva. Someone who's not a Rosh Yeshiva, he can also be a Talmud Chacham. Rak shu muksak le Talmud Chacham bederei. But it must be someone who's accepted as a Talmud Chacham in his generation. Shideya liso litein b'Torah. He knows how to debate and expound the Torah. Mevin bidai to berei mekemes haTalmud. He understands through his own knowledge the majority of the places of the Torah, of the oral law, of the written law, perushov, its interpretations, upiski agenim, and its codes, its halachos. V'teiros umnosei, and Torah is his main occupation. Most of his days and nights are spent with Torah. Then, the Mechaber brings Talmud Chacham amazalzel b'mitzvahs, bein b'yirashamayim. What happens if you have a Talmud Chacham, someone who's very great in Torah, but he's mazalzel mitzvahs, he doesn't keep all the mitzvahs that he should. Or he has no yirashamayim, he has no fear of heaven. Hu kekal shebetzibur. Then he is to be treated like the lightest, like the smallest of the tzibur. Then this is not a Talmud Chacham. I conclude with one final Gemara, and that's the Gemara in Masechta Ervin. And from here we can see, this is the same Rabbi Kiva, from here we can see the great respect that one must have towards the Chachomim of Klal Yisrael. So Gemara in Ervin, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Gemara brings a posuk from Shlema HaMelech, Kehelas. V'yeser mehema b'ni'i, izoya asei sforim harbei. Shlema HaMelech said, more than this, my son, you should make many sforim. What does that mean? Izoya b'divrei seferim yeser medivrei teira. Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon said, my son, you shall be more careful with the laws of the Seferim, with the laws of the Chachomim, than with the laws of the Torah. Because when it comes to the laws of the Torah, so sometimes it's a negative commandment, sometimes it's a positive commandment, the punishments are not always so severe. But when it comes to the laws of the Sofrim, of the Chachomim, there, if someone does not keep it, it states that the punishment is that a capital punishment. Because Shlema HaMelech wrote that whoever will be paid its geder, whoever will break the wall that the Chachomim have built around the Torah, a serpent will bite him. And then the Gemara brings a case, Maaser Rebbe Akiva. When Rebbe Akiva was old, and the Romans threw him into the dungeon. And Rebbe Shua HaGarsi, this is one of his Talmidim, came to take care of Rebbe Akiva. Every day he would bring him Mayim B'mida. Every day they would allow him to bring Rebbe Akiva a small amount of water. One day, Motzu Shemer Beis Asuri. One day he came with the water, and the guard wanted to cause some folly. So he said, what is today that you're bringing so much water? Are you going to try to take Rebbe Akiva out of prison with this water? So he went and he threw half the water out. So when he came to Rebbe Akiva, so Yeshua, Rebbe Akiva said to Yeshua, don't you know that I'm a very old man? Why did you come so late today with the water? my life is dependent on this. Sochle kolay samura. So Yeshua told him everything that happened. Amalei tainli maim shetel yodai. So Bekiva says, give me the water so I can wash my hands. He wanted to wash Netilas Yadayim. He wanted to wash Negavosa. Amalei lishtais ein magin, little yadecha magin. Either he was washing Negavosa or he was washing before the Suda if he had what to eat. So he said, Amalei, so Yeshua said, there's not enough water to drink. Are you going to use it to wash your hands with? So Rabbi Akiva said, Ma'ase, what should I do? Shechayovin alein miso. The laws of washing one's hands, this is probably referring to the Netilas Yadayim l'Suda, to wash hands before the Suda. The laws of washing one's hands, this is a law from the Chachomim. And from the wise, the Gemara says that you must keep all the laws of the wise, otherwise you're guilty of capital punishment. Mutav omeis, misas atzmi v'leyavar al das chaveirai. It's better that I should die through my own efforts than I should die by transgressing the opinions of my colleagues. Because it was his colleagues that enacted this law. Omru leitoam klum at shehevi lamayim v'notol yodav. Yeah, it's speaking about washing to eat. So leitoam klum, he would not eat until they gave him the water to wash his hands with. He would not eat until he used this water to wash his hands with. Kishishom ha-chachomim v'dover, when the chachomim heard this, omru ma b'ziknuse kach b'yalduse alachas kam v'kam. If this was Rabbi Akiva in his old age, that he was willing to give his life for one law of the Chachomim, so imagine what Rabbi Akiva was in his younger days. Rabbi Akiva lived to 120 years old, so he was almost 120 then. Uma bebeis asurin kach, shalei bebeis asurin alachas kama vakama. And if this was Rabbi Akiva when he was in the dungeon, so imagine what Rabbi Akiva did when he was not in the dungeon. How careful he was with the laws of the Chachomim. So we see here the quality of Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva that became the great Rabbi Akiva because he was willing to fulfill, he was willing to live by this principle that I would rather die than transact the words of my colleagues. From here, from these are just a few of the Gemaras. We could speak on this for a long time. But from here, just a few of the Gemaras of the great importance that the Torah gave to the words of the sages. And the great responsibility that we have to give proper honor to the Talmidei Chachomim and to their teachings. Like the Rambam says that this is the Ikar Hadas, this is the foundation of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral law that from here went out Torah to all of Israel. We should be zeicher to see again what the Gemara explains and the Rambam explains that Kisha. When the Bezdin HaGodl stood, there was no machlekes be Israel. There could not be two divergent opinions in Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.